And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio. Great to have your company. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. And for those of you not aware, this program is brought to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. On today's program, well, the countdown is on to the May 2015 budget. And just what will the proposed funding cuts mean to Aboriginal legal services, not just in Western Australia, but around the country? Shane Duffy is the chairperson of the NATSLS, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. He joins us shortly on the program to let us know exactly where things are at. And for many people around the country, what a huge day of National Day of Action recently against the WA government's proposal to close remote communities. ALSWA CEO Dennis Eggington was one of the speakers at the rally and protest held in Perth on the steps of Parliament House. He joins us to talk about the proposal of community closures. And hello to everybody in Fitzroy Crossing in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Welcome to listeners of Wongi Radio who are joining us for the very first time and are going to be taking our Law Matters program regularly on their local station. So welcome to everyone in Fitzroy Crossing. Great to have you aboard. We'll be touching base later this hour with the manager of Wongi Radio, Angie Lee Stahl. Do stay tuned. This is the Law Matters program. Jodie Hoffman with you. Great to have your company this hour. And anyone who saw ABC TV's Late Line program on Monday night would have gained an insight into the vital role that Aboriginal legal services play within the justice system throughout Australia. The national body for these services is NATSLS, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. And its chairperson joins me now on Law Matters. Shane Duffy, welcome to Law Matters and thanks for your time. How are you?
Yeah, good, Sis. Thanks so much on the program. Things are going all right, considering.
Oh, look, I think, you know, Shane, when you think about the waiting game that ALSs have been forced to wait for around the country, it was with despair that our services learnt that back in 2013 there was going to be drastic funding cuts made to Aboriginal legal services nationwide. Now, the full extent of the cuts is still not known and won't be known until the budget is handing down in May. What an excruciatingly anxious wait for staff and management and executive committees and clients and community alike, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. The concerning factor, obviously, as you said, Jodie, is all of those and the above. And it's, you know, government talks about being clear on good governance and governing organisations, fine. But the challenge for us, as you said, is the pressure on our staff and our communities about knowing whether or not they're going to get the continued level of service we're currently providing. The timeline around not knowing until May is even more alarming because I think the impact would be twice as bad because in that fact, the budget could mean that we get less than what's already been announced. So up in the air isn't very good when you're trying to run not only a business, but in trying to meet the needs of your people when they've got changing legislation and policy right across the country.
And I think that anyone involved in the legal fraternity, whether it's private or mainstream or government legal providers, would already have a very good indication that Aboriginal legal services are already in a situation where we have to do more with less anyway.
Absolutely, and it's good to bear in mind that where we provide legal assistance across the country, there are no legal aid commissions and there are no private practitioners. So in those communities, particularly as we go into the regional, remote, very remote communities, we are the only service providers trying to meet the needs of our people. So, you know, the government once said to us, the bureaucracy said, well, if you continue to deliver the services with what you've got, you're never going to get any more. And I said, well, the difference to us is we are the community. We come from, we are a part of. There is no difference between our organisations and our mob on the ground. So we'll continue to get blood out of the stone as opposed to those in the other legal assistance areas where they'll say, well, enough is enough. We can't deliver services, so they pull services. So, I mean, to one thing, that's our strength, but another, it's also our weakness in trying to continually band-aid services to meet the needs of our people out on country.
Shane Duffy, when the government did flag proposed funding cuts back in late 2013, they did assure everyone that no frontline services would be effective. It's clearly been incorrect, hasn't it?
Oh, well, I think that thought bubble has busted well and truly, and they know full well, and we've lobbied and although we can't say lobby because we're not allowed to lobby and advocate anymore. We've had our funding grants changed to take that away from us. But we've worked quite hard to say to people that any cuts to our organisations will be a cut to frontline service delivery. And in anticipation of the so-called law reform and policy work that they've taken office, in reality it's one person in each state and territory. So, you know, anywhere between 650 and 750,000 is the true extent of what those positions are worth, and yet the totality of what they've put up is over $13 million. So it just doesn't add up.
It must have been incredibly disappointing in March, Shane, when we learnt that NATSOS, which is the peak body for Aboriginal legal services, was denied funding under the Indigenous Advancement Strategy. Does that mark the end of NATSOS?
Well, the program was always funded, the national body is always funded through the federal attorney, but Senator Brandis, the federal attorney, made it quite clear that the funds wouldn't be forthcoming. So we did apply through the IAS strategy and obviously got knocked back. So, look, I don't know, mate, I live with a bit of hope. At this stage, I can't see any light towards the end of the tunnel, but I don't know. I can only say at this point, yes, it is the end. And remember, we're not asking a lot of money to have our national body supporting our sister organisations right across the country. It's only $295,000. It's not like some peeps that run on multi-million, $16, $17 million budgets. We're talking about $295,000 per year to continue providing expert strategic advice, not only to state and territory governments, but particularly to federal government in relation to any law reform or policy positions, not just in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander space, but in the broader space as well.
My guest is Shane Duffy, Chairperson of the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. Shane, the NATSOS have had a very strong voice to government in providing information on the issues that are very, very complex facing community members around the country, and why the services provided by Aboriginal Legal Services are so unique and vital that couldn't just be plucked out of ALSs and placed with other organisations. Do you find that, with the uncertainty of funding, that voice is diminishing?
I will continue to have a voice in one medium or another, Jodie, and you know, with NUAR Radio here, that this is one medium to get out to your audience, and through other mediums such as print, radio and TV. But look, you know, Jodie, the large extent of these cuts, and in reality what it will mean, is unrepresented litigants before the court. The unintended consequences of poor public policy and a burst thought bubble really means that our people will be going to jail quicker. Our kids will be removed even more quicker than they are within the child protection system. We won't have the representation, the civil and family law services for our mob across the country. The unintended consequences are dire for our mob, but it's also the unintended consequences to the cost of clogging up the court. So this poor thought bubble policy has actually created, I would anticipate, a cost that no one has anticipated, not only to state and territory governments within their court services, but particularly to the federal government as well.
Shane Duffy is joining us on Law Matters, broadcast not just here on Noongar Radio in Perth, Noongar country, but also nationally through the National Indigenous Radio Service, and for the very first time to our communities in Fitzroy Crossing in the Kimberley area of Western Australia through Wongi Radio. G'day to everyone around Fitzroy Crossing. First time for our country listeners there, Shane, which is great news for us.
Yeah, it is, Jodie, and it's good to be able to talk to your own mob, and because we really do struggle to try and get the message out there. You know, our services do cop a hammering from time to time. We bust our guts, we try our hardest, and you can only stretch things so far. So, look, the thing for us is trying to share that information to community through radio, but also for those that do have internet access, through our websites and through broader perspectives in media. So it's really good to find that out now, Jodie and Yana, which is that it's getting out even broader than it had been in the past.
You talked about more Aboriginal people are going to end up in prison. I don't think there's much more room in prisons. There's already so much double bunking going on around the place with overcrowding and prisons at or over their expected capacity. I just don't think the answer is to continue building more prisons.
No, you're correct, and it's quite obvious, you know, particularly in Western Australia with the mandatory sentencing, and we're seeing a broad spread of mandatory sentencing policy across state and territories in Australia, and that's quite alarming. We know that mandatory sentencing and particularly prohibition in laws don't work. Look, there's some challenges in not only the prisons, and we've already reached saturation points as a small minority in relation to the broader population, and then what we cover within the prison systems within the rates. But we also identify that our people don't just turn up with criminal law issues; they turn up with a multitude of issues across the civil, criminal, and family law. But they also turn up with social issues. So the challenge for us is not only trying to provide legal services, but then trying to be able to refer our clients to those community support services out in the community, which will address those underlying challenges our mob have in their lives. And you'd be aware through the recent business advancement strategy that was released yesterday, we've noted a whole host of money going to state and territory governments, which is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled dollars, being given from Prime Minister and Cabinet through Nigel Scullion as the Aboriginal Affairs Minister to state and territory governments to deliver services of which they should be paying for out of their own state tax coffers. So we've lost money not only in the legal service but in the broader community services sector, and that money's gone to government, it's gone to sporting clubs, it's mining companies have got money. This is just disastrous, and it's the worst I've ever seen. And I'm only a young fella, but I know our old people taught us strongly. This is the worst we've ever been for a long, long time.
Shane Duffy, you met with the Natsils in Adelaide recently. Mm. What did you talk about, and how was the mood generally?
Oh, look, the mood was down, but we try and keep upbeat about the possible hope that things may change. Look, the major discussion was how we're trying to manage sharing our own experiences, how we're trying to manage the cuts in relation to service delivery. So do we sack staff? Do we make staff part-time? Do we close offices? What types of law do we provide? What mix of law do we provide? Because there's also changes that'll take place as a part of the Attorney-General purchasing arrangements, which may also mean that some organisations may have to reincorporate. Their drive is that we need to incorporate under Commonwealth law. So the only options are the Corporations Act or the CAPSI Act underneath the Office of the Register of Indigenous Corporations. So there's broader issues, not only relation to the direct service there, it's around our governance. But that doesn't come without a cost. So governance, looking at our service there, and then talking about being strategic to say, well, let's come together once the bomb's dropped on the ground and let's see what we can do. We're just a bit lost at the moment, but, you know,
come back stronger, I'd say.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, let's hope there is a rapid turn in what's going to happen with what was the proposed funding. It's not May yet. There's always hope. And I want to make your last question like you're standing on a soapbox somewhere, Shane, and you're surrounded by this state's and this country's political leaders. And you got a couple of minutes to let them know about the importance of Aboriginal legal services. Go for it.
I just need people to understand that for some 42 years, our old people fought for the rights to have our services, not only in the legal but also in the health sector, and that mainstream white organisations were built off the same platform that Aboriginal people created in this country. So the health services and the legal services, we saw a need to meet the needs of our people from a culturally competent, a culturally appropriate way, and that white services were built off these. Please don't dismiss us in your thought bubble process that doesn't actually acknowledge the expertise, particularly the cultural expertise and the professionalism that we provide, not only to the legal assistance sector, but to all sectors across Australia and the First Nations people in this country. We're here, we're ready, and we're willing to participate, but you cannot continue to make public policy in isolation. If anything about us that impacts upon us, we must be involved in.
There has been an absolute groundswell of support for legal services, Aboriginal legal services across the country, Shane, since the announcement was made in 2013. As I said, it's not May yet. Who knows what will come? But we do know that there is so much support within the legal fraternity and community organisations, mainstream and Indigenous, that support greatly the work done by Aboriginal legal services. So there is always hope, hey?
Yes.
Shane Duffy, thanks for your time on Law Matters. We wish you all the best and look forward to touching base again before too long to continue this conversation.
Thanks, Jade. Any time for your own upsets. You take care.
You too. Shane Duffy. Thank you. Shane Duffy, chairperson of NATSLS, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. You're on Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jody Hoffman with you, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, fortnightly on Noongar Radio in Perth, Wongi Radio in Fitzroy Crossing, and through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Welcome wherever you're listening from. What a huge day recently with the National Day of Action. Brothers and sisters across the country standing in solidarity against the WA government's proposal to close around 150 Aboriginal communities. At the rally and protest in Perth, Dennis Eggington was one of over 1,000 people taking part on that day, and he joins us in the program today. Dennis, how are you going?
Good, Jade. Good, thanks.
I haven't seen a rally that big for a while in Perth. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was good, but it shows a new type of way to protest, and obviously in the old days it was word of mouth and maybe even a fax to different people, but social media proved very important, both not only in getting the numbers of people there, but obviously taking the protest globally through virtual reality. So on the, you know, once again, using technology to connect other people from around the world about what's happening here in Australia.
Because we are heard nationally, for anyone who's not aware, the proposal was by the WA government that communities would be closed if they weren't seen as being viable. What was your own views when you heard that?
I just thought, what a bunch of racist mongrels. You know, like if you were a big farmer or you're a cattle station owner and you had, you know, your sons and your daughters there and, you know, families of, you know, maybe 20 or 30 people living there, which is equivalent to some of our small communities, government would be giving you all the subsidies you needed to keep the place going, including services to help with education, medical, and then, of course, your subsidies when, you know, drought and times get tough. You know, who is the government to say whether or not we're viable? The reality is that it's no longer a way of dealing with Aboriginal people. You know, Australia got away with it earlier on in the late 1700s and early 1800s by systematically removing us from country. But you know, we're up against you know, steel, bullets, horses, and all kinds of opposition to us trying to stop on country, and these days it's just not only not acceptable, it's a form of genocide as recognised internationally. So, you know, not being viable, and I mean, what does that do? I mean, what's the message that government's trying to get across? Not viable. Well, we are viable. Not only are we viable, it's our country, and people have got the right to be there. And that's the cost you pay when you invade someone's country and you colonise it and you remove people from it. And it's just a cost that Australia has to bear. But what they don't realise is that it's not a real cost, because people come here to see Aboriginal culture and people come here to experience it. And the diversity of our population and the fact that it's a cultural thing, it's about language and language connected to country. It's about the health of people. It makes it more than viable. It's important to the spirituality of this country. It's a way that Australia can ensure that it has a future if the last lots of people are removed from traditional country and put into towns and places like you know, large urban centres and towns like Fitzroy Crossing or Halls Creek and Kalgoorlie in the goldfields, then or Port Hedland in the Pilbara, then this country will continue to get sicker and sicker like it has done, and it's about time people realise that it's us and our people and 2,000 generations of singing songs and looking after the spirit of the land, that will only strengthen it and strengthen the people who live here in this country. So very short-sighted, very racist, very breaching international law. All of these things are part and parcel of why there was 1,000 people there, why people all over the world, including some, you know, Australian expats like Hugh Jackman and others who really got behind this. And I don't really think government thought it through properly, and the stupid rhetoric coming from Tony Abbott and then others who, you know, talk about lifestyle choices and, you know, we've got to save you from yourselves and all this kind of paternalism and horribleness. You know, they've bitten off too much than they can chew, and they'll probably live to regret the decisions and the comments that they've made.
It really does feel like the country's gone backwards, Dan. It was only recently that we were reflecting on 50 years since the Freedom Rides. And here we are. This is happening in Western Australia and being supported by the Australian Prime Minister.
Yeah, it is. It's, and I heard Shane Duffy's interview saying that he felt that there was this sense of despair around. But, you know, once again, let's be real. And the fact is that we're resilient, we're strong. You know, people tried to take us out and get rid of Aboriginal people in this country through a systematic ethnic cleansing of our towns, through terraforming our lands into unknown entities that weren't conducive to our way of life. But we have survived, and I always continue to think of Bart Willoughby and No Fixed Address when they say we have survived the torment of it all, and we will, and that's our strength. But yeah, things are looking a little dimmer these days as far as who's talking on behalf of Aboriginal people, who government's listening to, this agenda of you know, the Andrew Forrest report, the National Indigenous Advisory Group. All these things are of major concern. And but what's happening underneath all of that is you've got a growing resistance which is starting to surface. So you've got your tent embassies all over Australia. You've got sovereignty movement now getting numbers, and, you know, the First Peoples movements. And so you have got this real grassroots surgence of opposition to what's happening, and maybe in the end we needed to be where we are now to get people shaken out of their complacency about what's going on. And I can only see that you know, the people, the Michael Andersons of the world and others who are really pushing for our sovereign union of First Nations peoples, our tent embassy, you know, people down Matagarup, really being strong and standing their ground. You know, these are good things. You know, the protests on Harrison Island is a good thing. It's about standing up and saying no more. You're not pushing us around anymore. We're sovereign Aboriginal people. We're sovereign Noongar people. You know, so that's the strength of what's happening.
You're listening to Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. In the studio, Chief Executive Officer of the Legal Service in WA, Dennis Eggington. Dennis, what was very apparent at the Perth National Day of Action was the diversity of people, age groups, cultural backgrounds that were there to show their support. There's a lot of goodwill out there, isn't there?
Look, I was amazed, but, you know, I saw Channel 9 last night, and credit to Channel 9, they've actually gone down and spent a night at Harrison Island with the protesters. But once again, people are coming in from all over the place, and not only did Channel 9 stop there the night and camp, but there was a number of young Wadjalas there who obviously were there to support. So, you know, in as much as we're horrified at what the Prime Minister says and what he's doing in dismantling Aboriginal affairs, and you only have to look at the Indigenous Advancement Strategies monies and where it's gone, mining companies, Broncos Football Club, Rabbitohs in Redfern, all of these places have got massive millions of dollars anyway, and, you know, they're taking it from Aboriginal organisations that actually employ Aboriginal people. So despite all of that horribleness, there is, what I said, this is real strength of people who are supporting us in our endeavours to stop what's going on. You know, But there are a whole range of issues facing us today, including, you know, settlements around native title, and people are for it, people are against it, and right from that very ground level right through to, you know, international affairs and stopping Aboriginal people from actually getting into Geneva and New York. So there's all of this activity, but I'll keep coming back. We are resilient, we are strong, we are survivors. And for the first time since the 1967 referendum, we're now starting to get non-Aboriginal people on side. And that hasn't been the way, I think, native title and other things that were, that, you know, the Mabo decision brought a division. It brought conflict for us, where people actually didn't want things to go ahead for Aboriginal people because they thought that we were getting too much. And, you know, there was a wonderful sign at the rally saying, Aboriginal Australia has paid for Australia's lifestyle choices since 1770. So, you know, solid stuff.
It was solid stuff, and it does seem that when the going gets tough, people just unify more, and it's a pretty powerful strength out there, hey?
Yeah, it is good, and I can only see that, that, like I said, I think government and Tony Abbott will feel the pinch. They'll realise that they've bitten off too much than they can chew, and there's only really one way, and that is to accept that they are wrong and reverse the decision. Otherwise, you know, big trouble in Little China.
There was some incidences in communities of water being turned off.
Yeah, look, you know, no one will be forced off their communities, I think, was what our Premier said. And at the same time, you know, communities were losing water and power and all kinds of things. So if that's not forcing people, well, it's probably not forcing people off, but you can't live there if you've got no water.
This is definitely something that we'll keep talking about here on Law Matters, particularly, obviously, in Western Australia, where the numbers have indicated that up to 150-ish communities could be affected. So we will keep it very prominent here on this program. Talking to Shane Duffy at the top of the program, Dennis, about the funding cuts, and of course, if they go ahead, and we haven't heard anything to the contrary, that's going to mean big changes for the ALS. As the CEO for the past 18 years, boy, it just must feel like one step forward and four backwards sometimes.
Yeah, Gunnar and myself, I just really just absolutely am terrified at the thought of, you know, possibly closing offices, closing the types of law work we do. Do we shut down family law altogether? Do we take out civil work that, you know, fights against discrimination? Or do we just stop visiting the courts? Do we close country offices down? Do we look after the remote and rural areas and just say to our mob, unfortunately, you have to go to legal aid now because we haven't got the money to keep a service in the Perth area? I'm just terrified, and probably to that end, I'm a little bit like an ostrich. I'm keeping my head in the sand and hope it doesn't happen. But, you know, as someone who's responsible for the organisation, we have drawn up contingency plans about what we might do, and Shane's mentioned some of those. And if it comes to that, then we're just going to have to do what we have to do, but it won't be the same type of a legal service that we currently have, and it will be an end of an era.
By the time the budget is handed down in May, Dennis, it will be about 19 months on from when the federal government first flagged big cuts to Aboriginal legal services. That's a heck of a waiting game.
Yeah, and look, we've already seen people leave the organisation, and of course, in the end, that's a strategy because you just don't replace them, which is an easy way to deal with it. So, yeah, it is a long waiting game, and to be told that we won't actually know exactly how much we're going to get cut until the night of the budget again is despicable. It's playing with people's lives, and you've got people who are hard-working people who work for our mob, that, and they're genuine people, and, you know, but they've got mortgages and they've got kids to take it to school and all kinds of difficult decisions. But, you know, once again, if they leave, we just don't replace. So we're now finding gaps in the system, and that's a diabolical result of making announcements and and frightening people, including, you know, we know that people are really terrified. They know that the government has announced their communities and their communities have been targeted as being closed, and people are actually leaving. People are feeling sick and they're worried. And what, sometimes I wonder what it is we've actually done wrong to be treated so inhumanely. You know, we were here. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, yep, anyone would resist having their country invaded. Anyone would continue to fight if your country is occupied, not by soldiers, but by government and police. And that's what's happened. There's no treaty. There's no deal done with Aboriginal people. You know, we've got some deals going through with native title, and some people are, you know, are benefiting from it through trust funds, but they haven't got access to their monies. They're not getting down to the ground. But there's no way that this country has got a social contract with us as First Australians, and that means that our country that we haven't given up is occupied. We live in an occupied country. So, you know, what is it that we've done wrong? Was it because we were here first? Jealous of the fact that we're here first? I sometimes just wonder what it is that is driving this terrible, inhumane way of dealing with things, including, you know, keeping people on passive welfare and all kinds of things that are demoralising and taking people's spirit away, taking people's country away. You know, it's just some of the sickest people in this country. We're the most locked up people in this country. Anywhere that you look where there's a negative, we're overrepresented. We should be overrepresented in who's billionaires and millionaires in this country. That's where we should be recognised.
On the positive side, until more is known with the budget and with the community closures for the ALS, for now it remains business as usual. It goes ahead and we continue to do whatever needs to be done to represent our community members.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're worried about anything, please just feel free, give me a call at the Legal Service, 90089 265 6666. I'm happy to talk to anyone. My door's always open when people come to the service. Yeah, we'll continue to do what we need to do and fight the good fight, and whatever will be, que sera, sera, and we will survive. We have survived, and one day freedom will come. I think it was Richie, the guy from, I remember seeing that Woodstock movie, and this guy, freedom, freedom will come. I know.
Kev Carmody.
Great song.
Yeah, what a legend.
We should play that sometime, Joe.
We definitely will. For now, Dennis Eggington, thank you for chatting with us today about closure of communities and funding cuts. We will touch base with you again very soon here on Law Matters for updates of that. I want you to stay in the studio, though, because we're going to have a bit of music, and after that, we're heading off to Fitzroy Crossing.
I just wanted to say, yeah, up to Wongi, up in Anapuru, and all the Fitzroy mob. I remember one dear old man, and he passed away, Mr. Preston, and he was a great advocate for Aboriginal radio. Thanks, Joe.
We'll be heading to Fitzroy right after this. Stay tuned. This is Law Matters. As we've been mentioning throughout the program today, we are welcoming a whole new band of listeners, which we're absolutely thrilled about, in Fitzroy Crossing, because for the very first time, Wongi Radio is going to be taking this Law Matters program and broadcasting every second Friday on Wongi between 12 noon and 1 o'clock. Station manager Angie Lee Stahl joins us on this significant program. Angie, welcome to Law Matters. How are you going?
Thank you. Very good.
Well, look, we're so happy that we're going to be reaching out to Fitzroy Crossing. Now, this is a national program as well. So, Angie, I want you to paint a picture for our national listeners of where Fitzroy Crossing is and who listens to your radio station.
For sure. Well, Fitzroy Crossing is situated in the central Kimberley, so that's right up north, about 4 hours' drive inland from Broome. And Wongi Radio reaches out to the entire heart of the Kimberley, so the whole Fitzroy Valley. So that spreads across about 40 Aboriginal communities and takes in a listenership of about 4,000 to 5,000 people daily, and across 6 different language groups. So we're really excited to be taking your program in now.
How many staff are employed at Wongi?
We have a staff of about 4 at this stage. We're a really small station, So we have myself and the receptionist and two broadcasters, and then a handful of volunteers who come in and out and help us out. And all the kids, all the school kids who come after school and sit down and want to request songs or use the computer and all that kind of stuff.
And is there a couple of local favourite songs that, get twirled a fair bit on the radio station up there?
For sure. We also have our own local band, Fitzroy Express, so that gets played a lot. And her songs such as Home Sweet Home or Hard Times, for example. But we also, the favourite kind of music in the Fitzroy Valley is mainly country music. So all the old school country classics, you know, Slim Dusty, Kevin Gunn, Peter Brandy, or also modern things, you know, Troy Cassidaley and all the American country stars. So anything country rocks the airwaves.
Fitzroy Express, they are absolute legends, those fellas, aren't they?
Aren't they? And they get around. They just tour all over the place. Oh, everyone seems to love them.
They pack out band rooms when they're down in Perth. They've got the most loyal following. And what is it? It's about 25 years they've been together, isn't it?
I think so. They've been together for a long time and they're still just doing it. They're still rocking it.
Angie, I'm going to introduce you to Dennis Eggington, the Chief Executive Officer of the Aboriginal Legal Service, because way back in the late 1980s, Dennis established the WA Aboriginal Media Association down here in Perth. And in those very early years, there was quite a lot of contact between that station and your station up there.
Ah, get out.
Yeah, how are you going, Angie?
Hi, Dennis. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, look, at the top of the program, I did mention a wonderful old man, I believe has passed on, but Mr. Preston was his name, and he was one of the very first broadcasters up there. And you know, to see one of the elders, one of the old people, help us establish Wangi up in Anapuru was just absolutely fantastic. And you know, here all these years past, you're still going strong and playing music to their mob on the airwaves. And so yeah, look, Angie, I just so excited about having you guys on our program and being able to, you know, get some messages out to the Fitzroy Basin, and also from time to time it'll give me a chance to say hello to a lot of my dear old friends up there, June Oscar, who I do know, but of course Kalak Mob and Maria Hand and Dickie Bedford and just everyone, Big Ivan, just everyone. So really looking forward to it, Ange.
And
of
course, great.
And we've got our court officer for Fitzroy Crossing, who we're going to try and lure onto the program as well, Stevie Carter. Hey, Dennis.
Well, Angie, if you can find Stevie for me, I'd really appreciate it.
I think I found him down at the shops yesterday.
Oh, good one.
Hey, Angie, what we'd also love is some feedback from you in terms of what issues would be relevant for communities around Fitzroy that we can be talking about here on Law Matters as well. So what are some of, you know, you wanted to pick up the law program and run it on your station every couple of weeks. What is the main information that you're hoping to get out through this program?
Well, that's really hard to say what people actually want to listen to and what they want to know. So we'll try and find out from our listeners exactly what it is that they'd like to hear. But I know that the hot topics at the moment are probably the same, which is state and nationwide. So everyone's really concerned about land and native title and how changes are going to affect that. There was some speculation in the Kimberley and in Western Australia that they were going to remove the sacred sites labelling. So everyone's concerned about those kind of things. And also just the closure of communities and the impact that things like that and the loss of the legal service will have on people. So I think people are really concerned about those kind of issues at the moment.
All right. Well, they all sound like stuff that we would relish having a yarn about here on our Law Matters program. Angie, we look forward to more chats with you in the future, and also, you know, getting some of your staff on our show from time to time to say g'day and find out more about the program and coming out of your station.
Wonderful. We'd love to.
Okay. How can people tune in to Wangi Radio?
You can tune in, if you're in the Kimberley driving through, tune in to 9.36 a.m. or wait a couple of weeks and our online will be up and running and you can tap on our web page, which will be www.wangiradio.org.au.
Brilliant. Angie, thanks for being part in this program, and g'day to all the listeners up there, and we look forward to having you on board regularly on fortnightly and every other minute in between in Fitzroy on Wangi Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Jodie. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, bye, Ange.
Angie Lee Stahl is the manager of Wongi Radio in Fitzroy Crossing. Now, you can say the whole name again, Dennis.
Wongi Upananapuru.
Great station, great music and great people. So we're taking law matters every fortnight beginning on the 27th of March between 12 and 1, fortnightly on Fridays, here on Noongar Radio in Perth, 100.9 FM, every second Wednesday from 11am to 12 noon and repeated Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and also through the National Indigenous Radio Service on alternate Tuesday afternoons. Plenty of opportunity to hear us. If you miss all of that, all of our programs go onto the ALS website. After broadcasts, you can hear them at www.als.org.au. If you've got any questions about any legal matters and would like our assistance, please give us a call, free call, anywhere in Western Australia, 1800 019 900. 1800 019 900. From myself, Jodie Hoffman, thank you for your company on Law Matters. Look forward to it again in a fortnight's time. See you later.